All right. Hi, everybody. I think we'll go ahead and start. There may be a few more people that come in. I'm Sean McGuire. Thank you for coming. I appreciate your interest in this. What I want to talk about today is the importance of adding spirituality into our healing practices with hypnosis, any kind of transformational healing. And I want to start by talking about what spirituality is not. So spirituality is not religion. Most people know that, and almost nobody knows that. That's been my experience, right? It's like, I kind of know that, and then I don't. So it's not religion. And what I'd like to do today is to help you be able to bring it into your practice for those people that are like, oh, no, I'm not religious. So to be able to talk about spirituality in a way that doesn't elicit that immediate, oh, I'm not religious. Okay? So it's not a religion. Sometimes people use religion as a way to find their spirituality. But spirituality is actually a class that we could spend 6 months on. And so today, in the 50 minutes that we have, I'm just going to give you a couple of things that I hope you can take with you and begin to add to your practice. For me, spirituality is about remembering who you are. It's about remembering that you're more than your human body. So that pathway is through love. So that would be one thing that I would say, is how do you bring love into your hypnosis practice? And ultimately what we're doing is helping that pathway illuminate into self-love, into our higher selves. And I think it's important because we can do all kinds of really cool changing of the pathways in the brain. But if we're not talking and weaving in self-love, we're missing a huge part of it. And I don't think it sticks as much. It doesn't stay with the person as much if then on top of it they're battling self-loathing or self-hatred. So I like to weave in love. And I'm going to give you three kind of ways that I use spirituality. And sometimes I don't even use that word. So love is one of the easiest. I think it's one of the first ways that we know about spirituality is through love. And I'll show you if you want to participate in this, feel free to. It's just to close your eyes. I'll say to a client, just close your eyes. Now, if they don't want to close their eyes, I'm like, okay, don't close your eyes. But feel your breath. And as you breathe, just imagine someone that you love. And this might be a two-legged someone that you love or a four-legged someone that you love. And as that happens, just notice what happens with your breath and what happens with your heart. As you see or sense or feel or just know their face. And notice the energy. Just notice what happens in your body. And imagine that you are saying to them or sending them love. You're saying to them, I love you. Imagine you're experiencing that love back from them. And just know in your own way what happens to you when you connect with love. And if you want to expand it, just weave it into your breath as you inhale even deeper into your heart. Just enjoy that feeling. Okay? And when you're ready, you can open your eyes if your eyes are closed. So there's your first intervention with spirituality with your clients. It's just that. Because once you start to access love, everything is possible. And you are all hypnotists, so you know that you are working with your client to speak their language. You're working with them to find that key that helps them. Love is kind of a universal language. In all my teaching, I've not found anybody who didn't love something, if not someone. Usually it's not a two-legged person. They'll be like, I don't love them. So I start looking for pets or animals or things in nature. And so love is that beginning pathway. Now, sometimes you can have that conversation with them about that being a pathway into spirituality. And sometimes, like I said, I don't even use that word. Okay, so that's one, is love. The second is the mystery, the mystical. You know, like I said, teaching our clients that they're more than just this body, this human body. So another thing that I will do with them is say, recall a time, and you can do this with your eyes open or closed, and you all can do this. Recall a time when you were out in nature and you saw something that caused you to catch your breath or that brought tears to your eyes. Does everybody have something? Yeah. Okay. So that's another example of spirituality. You can, depending on your client, again, you're weaving this in. It's like, well, why did that make you cry? If they're real intellectual, why did that make you cry? Most of the time they're like, I don't know. And I say, well, there's the mystery. There's the mystic, right? The mystical. Because spirituality is not necessarily something that we can touch or look at. Sometimes it is. You know, when I went to Arches National Park, and I broke into tears like I'm doing now, that's spirituality. That is something that touches us deeply, and our cognitive mind is not sure why. We just know that we're having an experience. So what I am hoping to offer you is a way to do the beautiful healing work that you're doing with your clients and bring in a little more of this love or mystery. Because ultimately what we want them to be able to do is to know that they are Arches, right? That they are divine love, that they are God. Whatever their language is, which you will develop with them as you work with them. Okay? So the third piece about spirituality that I'm talking about today is expanded consciousness. Okay? And that is where you can do this in a very cognitive way if you want to. As hypnotherapists, we're working with the subconscious mind. Okay? So let me just use this as a prop. Okay. So just what is this? Mm-hmm. A blanket. Blanket. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, as I open it up, just tell me what comes to your mind. What words or images come to your mind? Kantha. Mm-hmm. Right. Anything else? Any other words? Feelings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. You can hear all the different ways. Right. Okay. So when we start to look at expanded consciousness, it is this more than a blanket? Is this more than just a blanket? Well, it could be a shawl, right? It could be a cover. It's certainly different on this side than it is on this side, right? So the people that said colorful versus something else, when we start to look at who's right? Well, everybody's right in it. Because what you look at with this is more than just a blanket, right? It's more than just a kantha blanket. It's more than just a shawl. It's more than just a covering. So one of the ways that I use this in expanded consciousness is to say, can you find all the symbols in this? What if I ask you to use this as a way to find symbols that you're attracted to? Could you find a symbol on it that you're attracted to? Right. And then what does that symbol mean to you? You shook your head. Would you share what symbol it was that you saw?
Well, on the other side, that reminded me of Christmas tree lights, the branches.
Uh-huh. Christmas tree lights. How many of you could do a whole session just on that? right? So expanded consciousness, it's a way of finding something that is more than what this is, more than we're just the human, our human body, okay? More than it's just, that's just a pretty tree or something, okay? So those are the three parts that, again, for this little talk that we're doing today, that I want to offer you. Love, helping the client remember who they are. Expanded consciousness. Okay? Something that's more than it is. And then the mystical and the mystery in that. And when you can take a piece of that and add it to the work that you're doing, and you may all just think about that. That's what I would invite you to do. Think about what you're doing with your clients already that's healing and wonderful. And then how might you add one of these three, or maybe this sparks you to come up with your own ideas about what you would add to it. Because ultimately what we want to do is heal that part that is injured, that believes I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'll never be good enough. Right? No one loves me, I'm not wanted. And so one of the things that I think is important is having, as a clinician, as the hypnotherapist, the hypnotist, is having that sense of, I, as the facilitator, am light, right? I am my God self. I am here to help you. That would be another way to do it, that we have something to offer in it. So anytime that we're working with our higher self, anytime we remember that we're divine love, then we are holding that, and then that energy is there for the client. And they will start to stumble into it. They will stumble into remembering who they are. And we can use that kind of language for them. Okay, does that make sense so far? Okay. One of the things that I do, and again, you've got to make this fit with your clients, is I talk to them about a daily spiritual practice. Now, immediately people think, okay, I need to go out and buy all white outfit and white candles and crystals and rocks. And I say, no, I don't go buy anything. Just go back to something that you either love or that touches you, that feels bigger than you, right? Or that helps you see things in a different way. So can everybody come up with one thing there? If I said, pick one thing that you're going to do every day that would be part of a daily spiritual practice. Okay? Would you? Is anybody like, I don't have one? Except DW. No, she has a very big spiritual practice. Right? So it can be one thing that you do that starts to shift the energy, that starts to change how you interact with the world and how your clients interact with the world. So someone who, usually when we are working with clients, say you're usually dealing with trauma, they're usually dealing with anxiety, depression, and what's at the bottom of all of that? Fear, right? Fear that either I'm not good enough, or fear that I'm not loved again, or fear, even in this day and time, there's kind of a fear that it's hopeless. Everything's hopeless. So that shift just into that little bit that I did with you at the beginning of love. What is love? And feeling it in your body. That starts to open something that's already in the person. Right? Because what we know, again, as hypnotists and therapists and people that run healing energy, is that the memory that we are love, that we are divine, that we are God, whatever words you want to use, is within us. And our time on earth is about remembering that. It's getting back to remember that, even if it's the very simple, oh, I am lovable. Or what I'm always shooting for is that I am divine light and I have something to offer the world. Because I do have an agenda in my practice, and that is I want people to be out in the world shining their light. I do want people to go out and to give your gifts. And just like, this is another way that I use a Kantha blanket. There are no two of these blankets, you know Kantha, there's no two of these blankets that are alike. You'll never find any that are exactly alike. They may have some of the same, you may see some of the same repeated, this one doesn't have a repeated repeated pattern. Sometimes you'll see some in a batch that'll have the same swatch on it, but everyone is different. So I also use this to talk about each one of us, because each person in here, no matter how similar you are or how different you are, you have your own constellation, your own. You are your own Kantha blanket. And each one of your particular rays of light are needed on the earth. Each quality. And I think that what we are here to do in our own work as facilitators of healing and what we're hoping for our clients is to actualize each one of those little rays of light that we are made up of. And so again, we could spend 6 months talking about this topic, but going into that door with your clients who have never thought of anything spiritual, except it's religion, and I don't do religion, is what they will say, and they have religious wounds, so you can go in with love, so that you can, again, I'm telling you what my agenda is. My agenda is that each one of your rays of light, I'm going to just hold a flashlight and help you find those for yourself. And it starts with love. It starts with the mystery. It starts with knowing that this is more than just a piece of material, right? And it can be used for lots of different things. You could think of all the different ways that you could use this. Okay? All right. When I talk about this, what is something that comes up for you that you think, that's a block? That's not going to work with my client. Or I've tried that before and it has. Right, right. So that's where I just go right to love. And we just start with that concept of love. And at some point I can say something like, well, you know, all spiritual energy is love. Love is a spiritual energy. And I can start weaving that in. So, yeah, thank you for that. Anybody else? Is there another?
I've got so much self-loathing and self-hatred that they just can't dig into that space where they can feel it.
Right. So, and that's what typically happens. So if you think about like a talk, if you think about a teaching about spirituality in layers, right? So there's esoteric spiritual teaching. And then for me, then there's love. And that's where I would start with that, is knowing, okay, this client has a lot of self-loathing. Let me just start to help them open up love. And it may be that the only thing they love or only thing that loves them is a pet, right? I've even had people will be like, you know, the only thing that loves me is a tree. I'm like, okay, let's work with a tree. What tree is it? Oh, it's a tree in my backyard. So I start that low because the vibration of love is so high. It's so high. It's so healing. It heals people despite themselves. You know, they can be like, no. And you talk about a tree that loves them and they're like, oh, open. All we need is a little opening, right? Because that's where the light comes in. And the light comes out of them, right? So that's where I start. And I have made the mistake, you know, early in my career of, let's talk about spirituality. And they're like, we're leaving, right? We are leaving and you're crazy. So what I've come to really understand is just using love, even if that's all you ever use. Like, you don't need to go out and do anything except think about love for yourself, what you love, and start to weave that in with your clients. Is that helpful? Yeah. Okay. Any DW, did you? Anybody else have a question or a thought about like where that could be blocked for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, my client recently, they just came straight up and said, I'm an atheist, and pretty much just don't talk about anything that's spiritual. That was a little bit rough.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How would you handle
that? Well, I would go back to love. Love, nature. And again, I might not even use the S word, you know? Mm-hmm. I think because really what, I don't care what people call it. What I want is for people to remember that they are divine light, that they are love, that they are capable of incredible things. And with self-loathing, they're not going to move past that. And we can, this is why I think that spirituality is important, is that we can do all kinds of neuroplasticity. We can do all kinds of changes through hypnosis. But it's not going to hook in the body the same way as if we start to talk to that client, maybe the atheist. I don't know. I'm going to talk about his client for a minute, then I'll circle back to you. That one that's like self-loathing, you start to do just straight hypnosis with them, and you have them talk about the tree that loves them or the tree they love or their puppy, you have suddenly started to bring into alignment a channel that is already there for people, right? So underneath all that hurt and all that trauma is the part of them that knows that they're divine. So we spend our human life getting back to remembering who we are. So that's what I would just keep kind of bringing in, and you know, in each session, who loves you today, or what do you love today? What do you see today that was beautiful? That's another way to use it. What did you see today on the way in that caught your attention or that you thought was beautiful? And then the atheist, I would use love. Love, nature, same thing. Because I might not, again, ever even say the S word. But I know, this is what I'm saying to all of you, I know that when I start to access their energy, helping them access their energy of love, they're on the road to spirituality. The path opens up. Because it really is just about remembering that I am love. I am divine love. Thank you. Do you have a question?
I think for the atheists in the ethers, I heard a notion that atheists believe in something.
They do.
They believe in nothing.
Right.
Or something. Right. So either they're not in belief of a god, or they don't. You know, they're set on not attaching to something. And really all that spirituality is the connection that you just talked
right.
about. So get to the root of what they don't believe in. What don't you believe? Like, do you believe there's no God? Do you believe there's no such thing as spirituality? Like, mm-hmm. are we all just, you know, atoms bumping into each other? Like, what's the human to you? Kind of those types of things. Because then you're going to find out, A, why they had that concept and belief, and B, how they can begin to start to, like, even look at it.
Right, and I would do those parallel, right? So that's that kind of therapeutic piece of helping them understand how they got where they are, and at the same time, I'm going to be asking them if they have a little puppy. I say a little puppy because I had one of my colleagues once that I sat in circle with, loved no one, loved nothing except her dog. She didn't love anything in nature. She hated nature. She only wanted to be inside. But this dog was her pathway into love. So I would do this at the same time. Yeah, but it's a great idea. Yeah, that's what we do as clinicians, right? We are helping to unearth why we believe what we believe.
Something. So.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah. Right. Agreed. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Something that you find that you've run into when you start to talk about spirituality, or you start to think about it for yourself?
So I have a client who's earlier says no spirituality, can't do that, and then she also would not do her final new conclusion.
Say that again?
She would not do a new conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and what was fascinating was that she said, because I'm afraid that will close the door on it. It will release it. It will close the door on it, and it will still be there.
It'll close the door on.
On her verbal, her, well, mm-hmm. But there's a parallel to her new conclusion, which she actually earlier had stated. And she was, if I am in the room all by myself, I'm a very empathic person. But then she would not do that, which I believe there's a link between new conclusion and the spirituality.
Oh, I would, yeah, I would agree.
But I was noticing this person, though there's this belief that I still want to work with her on, is that I'm afraid I'm going to try to release that. But what my faith will do is close the door, and it'll still be behind the door.
Yeah, so I think, again, I wouldn't even use the word spirituality. I would go back to talk about love, nature. What do you feel in your body? When you find that they connect with, that resonates for them, that's usually a form of love, even if it's really, really defended. Again, like the person that's like, oh, I love that tree. Okay, we're going to start right there. What do you feel in your body? Because that opens something that is beyond the ego. So the ego will try to slam that door, but it's already opened in the body. It's already there. You can't go back. I mean, you have to do a lot of drugs to go back and close that up. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, is that it opens it up despite. Yes, Dr. Kuitai.
Well, I have a sense that DJ's client is coming expressing of the word spirituality. I think my first question to her is, how do you mean, what do you mean when you use the word spirituality?
And yes.
Exploring that further is to dispel the fear, because spirituality is such an abstract term and everybody has a different definition.
Yes.
So I want to understand what she's afraid of.
Right. Right.
Something you call it. And I use the word God. When they sit down, I ask them, do you believe in God? G-O-D or D-O-G is still a good word. It's only a word. I'm not talking about any religion. And I can honor and respect all of your beliefs. Help me work with that. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
And then, of course, tongue in cheek, I would say, because if you don't, it's going to cost you more.
Right. And that, so what my position for this is to say, do both at the same time. Because I'm wanting people to recognize, without even their ego or conscious mind involved, that they have stumbled into spirituality, into love.
Well, the client has just come in with a big S in her arms. And this is the big S she needs to embrace without fear. To argue would be a definitely wrong thing to do, because then you're engaging your cognitive mind. But to embrace it and say, help me understand.
Yes.
What spirituality is to you.
Right.
Teach me what you're
doing. Right. So for me in this talk, I'm assuming that all of you know how to do that with your clients. That you all know how to. No, it's true. That you all would have that discussion, whether it was about spirituality or family or marriage or sex, that you would do that. What I'm saying is, I have a little. What time is it? 30 minutes? Okay, thank you. What I'm saying is, I want to teach you this little. I think it's a very cool little gift to give them, where they will stumble, the ones that can't talk about spirituality, that have the big fear, and you're going to be doing that. At the same time, you're going to be asking them about love. You're going to be asking them about mystery. And sometimes that word is too big. Love and nature are the two words that I use a lot with people who have a lot of fear. Because the people that are the most fearful usually spend a lot of time out in nature. Now, sometimes they don't go out of their room, but I have discovered that a lot of people have a connection with nature or with animals when they have so much fear they can't do anything. So this, to me, this is where I'm saying, add that in to your practice that I know you're all doing, that you know how to do, to explore that. Because that would be the therapeutic piece of it. But this will open something in them despite their defenses. This will open a pathway for them that their conscious mind won't even know anything about. And all of a sudden, they'll be coming back in and saying something else they love. You have to grease that a little bit. But they'll start coming in and talking about love with you. And that opens up a spiritual channel within us that we all have, even if we don't even know what that word means. Like Dr. Kui Tai said, we could spend a long time talking about it. So I tend to not talk too much about it, except to have people experience it. Okay? All right. Thank you. These are all very helpful. Anything else that any other? Okay. So what I'd like to do is, if you would like to do this, I'm going to pass around another thing that I'll do. If we could get past the S word, you know, if we start working about, you know, in love and nature, I do have different things that I will start to invite people to do. And again, sometimes I don't talk about spirituality. I'll just say, what could you do every day? I know it's a daily spiritual practice, but they may not know that because I don't want to get into the resistance of it. Now, I might be doing that over here because, of course, you have to work on that. But I want to put some things in place so that all of a sudden they're like, God, I feel so good. I'm like, yeah, because you've opened up something that's in you, that's always been within you, that your mind says is not within you, which is love, which is healing energy. So I just want to get, I'll pass these around. These are, this is just a little deck of a daily spiritual practice card. And so sometimes I'll have these, you can use them like you would a tarot card or oracle card. You can find one. Pick one, ask a question, and you can keep the card if you want to. But it gives you a little, these are things that you could use for yourself or you could give your clients that some of them are spiritual and woo-woo, and some of them are go sit out by a tree. Just lean up against a tree.
Hug a tree.
What?
Hug a tree.
Go hug a tree. Go talk to a tree, yeah. That's a great intervention. Go talk to a tree. Go hug a tree. Because what happens there, and again, if you started to talk to your clients, some of your clients about this, they would run out of the room screaming. But when you go and sit and hug a tree or talk to a tree or put your hands on a tree, what you're doing is you're accessing spiritual energy. You're accessing the spiritual energy of the earth, the healing energy of the earth. Now, if I told one of my clients that who wasn't into it, again, they would run screaming out of the room. And they have before, you know, before I learned how to weave this into our work, right? But that's what's happening. And that's why people spend time out in nature. If you ask them, why do you spend time out in nature? They're going to say things like, well, because there's no people there. Because I'm safe there. Because I like the way it smells, or I like the way it looks, or they'll have all these reasons. Let me tell you, you all know this, the reason they're spending time out in nature is because there's healing energy in nature. And it's coming into them despite what their conscious mind is aware of. So that's another place you can always send people. If you're wanting them to be connected to spirit, and you don't want to use the S word, tell them to go out and hug a tree. Go lay down in the grass. Go put their feet in the ocean. You know, go float in the water. Okay? So, my purpose for this presentation is to invite you to start weaving in the energy around spirituality, because that's what it really is. There's concepts. We can talk about definitions, concepts, but to really start to help the person feel it in their body and describe it to you. because they can describe something that touched them, and you know that spirituality. That's an example of spirit, right? I mean, who has a new baby? Is anybody in here have a new baby in their life? Whether some way, okay?
I have a niece who's 6 months.
6-month-old niece. Is there more? I mean, you know, if I'm talking to a group of people in the same mindset, I'm like, that's the face of God, right? 6-month-old baby is the face of God. Now, if I'm talking to a bunch of people who don't know anything about that, I'll say, how do you feel when you look at that little baby? You know? And what you feel when you see that little baby's face.
Joy.
Yeah.
Innocence.
That's spirituality. And that's what we're helping our clients access, so that all the healing work we do with hypnosis and hypnotherapy has something to really not just click into. It's more that it opens up what's already there within us. Right? That memory that we are divine, that we are the face of God, is within us. It doesn't matter how hurt, traumatized, afraid we are, it is there. And so I'm saying, let's add this to all this wonderful healing work that we're doing, because it starts to just open it up despite the blocks. And you don't even have to talk about it. You can say, you have a little baby in your life, a 6-month-old niece? How do you feel when you look at her? Boom. How do you feel it in your body? Where is it in your body? What happens to your body? How do you feel right now, right? Notice your face.
People are uncomfortable around infants. Does that mean they're not open to spirituality?
No. No, it's just not. It might not be their gig. If somebody, I mean, that's why I just asked that. There could have been nobody in here that did it. But she, you could see her. You could see her open up, right? Just talking about her. Yeah, so no, this is where I'm not going to say this is what you need to do. I'm going to say, what do you love? And you might say, I love my flowers. I love my garden. Or I love the textiles that I weave. Or I love the book. I love my book. I mean, it can be anything, because love is love. Sometimes people only love inanimate objects. Okay. Well, they're probably coming to you for a reason, right? Right, yeah. So no, it's not one size fit all, but except for love. I do think that love is the one size that fits all. That's what I would say, okay? Yeah.
I don't know, I think I'm a nurse by profession, and got into hypnotherapy about 2 years ago after many other modalities, but I've taken care of newborns, like out of the womb, that need heart fixing, surgery or procedure. And something just intuitively, I've been doing it for 2 decades, but like when I hold a baby that's just been out of the womb, I just say, like, you know, we're going to take care of you, you're safe. I know you're away from your mom, but this is what we have to do to help you. And it's just like, no one knows that I do that. I'm just like holding the space and the energy with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not had one baby that, A, didn't make it, so thank God, and B, didn't respond back to me.
Right.
That I could feel like that's what I was supposed to do.
Right. So, very high level of spiritual awareness, right? High spiritual, what's your name?
Sam.
Sam? Sam has a very high sense of spiritual awareness. Now, Sam might talk about that example and not ever use the S word, right? That's your intuition, that you're working with the energy, absolutely. I mean, that's a whole other class, is talking to that baby, right? It's a whole other presentation. But that's a high level of spiritual awareness. That's what I would call it. And if I were working... If you're working with your client that way, you don't have to use the S word. You would just be like, oh, how do you feel in your body when you do that? How do you know how to do that? Where does that come from? It's all going to come back to love.
And me, I always see the science behind it, because of you have the numbers on the monitor. You have the physical reaction of what the infant who, you know, 2 hours old is doing. And it's proof to me.
Absolutely.
The spirit has... the data and the numbers and
improve.
Absolutely. Spirit and science are not two separate things, right? That's a beautiful example. Thank you, Sam.
And yeah. Sam, thank you for sharing it. That was really helpful.
And but I noticed on your cards, and there's something I've used, and I used it fairly recently with a woman who is coming back from breast cancer, and she basically gave up. I mean, she was giving up on her life, and I started counseling with her husband, and then he asked if I would talk to her. And yeah, it was pretty bad. I didn't really know what to do. She was so desperate, and you could see that she was giving up. And gave her a very simple gratitude exercise to sit on her bed with her husband every night and say three things that she was grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it together. And everything, I mean, there's no science can really describe what happened, just in her health and how she bounced back and how she became more attached now to her family and to her marriage and her husband, and, you know, just came back from almost the dead. And, you know, so thank you for sharing that. But I noticed on the cards that gratitude is a big part of this discussion.
Right. Yeah, because when we talk about energy, so spiritual energy is, love is a very, very high spiritual vibration. So is gratitude. Now, if I said to somebody, let's talk about joy, I might get a bunch of people saying, forget it. What are you talking about, joy? There's nothing joyful, right? Now, I could do a dance and help them recall something, but it's a little bit easier to say, is there something you're grateful for? Is there something that you love? Because, again, that energy is a high vibration. It starts to heal despite the mind, the conscious mind, which is what your example was of your client. You said, well, I don't know what to do. What's something you're grateful for? Boom. The healing starts to happen despite the desperation or the despair of the ego mind, the cognitive mind saying, there's nothing left, right? Yeah, so when we talk about spirituality, we are talking about energy. There's an energy in it. And again, if you talk about that with your clients, they'll run out of the room screaming most of the time. Talk about gratitude. Because you know, as a facilitator, that that is healing, that that energy is healing them. You know that that's a pathway into a higher version of themselves. Because that woman who thought there was no hope, that she had given up, there's nothing to live for, suddenly saw a higher version of herself. That's what we do as hypnotherapists. Is we're helping people heal. I'm just saying, here's a little tool that I think is pretty powerful and pretty easy to bring into it. And I call it spirituality, but I don't always use that word because it can be intimidating. Yeah, great example.
I think something else too that you're sort of alluding to is that you mentioned, you know, earlier in your career, you'd kind of jump ahead and you'd say these things, and your clients weren't ready, and they, you know. But as you became more in tune with your energy and your light became brighter, then people are attracted to
right.
that, and they're more ready and open.
Right.
And then they, you know, it's easier to talk about. So it speaks to the importance of our work as practitioners to do this with ourselves.
Right.
Too. And then it's just an extension of us, so people aren't as resistant.
Right.
You know, it's like you're vibing together in that sense. So I think that's the other piece too.
Right.
Of as you've evolved, you touch people in a different way. It doesn't even have to be that scary, you know?
Right.
Because you're more authentic in it.
Right. It that's part of why I think this presentation, 10 minutes. Okay, thank you. That's why I think I was looking for, he said Richard would come in. So I didn't even look at her. And then now I got it. Okay, 10 minutes. That's why I think this kind of work is so important. It's because we do need to access the energy. We do need to bring it in. And if I had known, and I actually did, because I actually love is one of the energies that I run, even when my mind did not know what the hell I was doing, right? So I did use love in that. But you're right. But I guess what I want to say about that, Wendy, is that too can be like your client. You run an energy of love within you, or you wouldn't have come up with gratitude.
Right.
Right? So even if your mind is like, well, I don't know you. So, but even if your mind was like, I'm not very spiritual, I don't know what to do, you were doing a spiritual practice when you invited her to look at gratitude. Right? And that's what I'm saying. Let me give you these couple of tools to go use. Does that really mean 2 minutes or 5 minutes?
Anywhere between 2 and 5 minutes is fine.
Okay. Thank you. I had all these little tricks about coming in. Okay. All right. So, are there any, do you have any other questions in my 2 to 5 minutes that I have left?
Uh-huh. When you are talking to a client, have you ever had the experience of them emitting negativity to the point that you can feel it? It's not like hate, it's just like, yeah. I don't know if it's fear on their part or something, but it's so negative. I can feel that from
them.
And I run back up. Of course, it's a client, you know, you have to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So most people that are hypnotherapists, you know, Reiki teachers, Reiki masters, psychotherapists, and the healing nurses and the healing field are really, whether you know it or not, are empaths. You're highly sensitive, highly intuitive people. And, you know, I'm in my 30 plus years now of this career, and what I have learned is about exactly that question that you're talking about, is that the other thing that I teach is about energetic hygiene and how to protect your precious energy when you are in human form as a nurse or as a therapist. And you can feel, because it doesn't, this is a whole different training, which you could go see my table over there. I did not pay her to do that. I do a training called Sensitive Souls, and I do 4 levels of it, and just teaching energetic hygiene. Because I'll just do this plug real quick, is you do not serve anybody by taking on other people's energy. And we sometimes do that emotionally. We sometimes do that intellectually. We certainly do it energetically if you don't know what's going on, and you can feel that, and then you're covered in that energy. And it sticks to you and them, so it doesn't help either one. So yes, that's a whole different thing that I can teach you. It's just a boundary. You know, I'm not sitting in your lap doing this session, right? Doing this class. I'm not sitting in anybody's lap because I have a physical boundary. I don't do that, right? So energetically, I teach you how to have an energetic boundary. So you've got the same energetic boundary. And it's very conscious. It's part of the spiritual teachings. Yeah. So I love that question at the end of this. So I can plug my sensitive soul class. Yeah.
Because I feel like my life experience has created a hard outer shell that I appear like, oh, I'm not dealing with that. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what I do. That's what I be. But as soon as I'm within my professional boundary or my, you know, just getting to meet new people, it's like the shell just, you know, after years of therapy, now I can kind of like let the guard at the door go sit down and take a break, and I can just, you know, little by little. But also I was going to say, for like the dominant energy resonance, like if you have someone who's really negative or chaotic and stuff, it's just like, as long as you can maintain, you know, being calm or being peaceful or joyful, mm-hmm. and just kind of like, you know, emanate that, it's almost as though they have to either engage with it or they just will like totally ignore you and your existence. And also their chaos negativity will completely stop. And I think
Right. So here's a pop quiz, and everybody can participate in this pop quiz. What is the energy that Sam is running in their energy field? What's the energy? What's the quality of that energy? What would you call it? Come on. Love. It's love. And If you're not even aware that you're running love in your energy field. Right, right. But that's what it is, and that's what dissipates that. So again, that's another training. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. I'm going to be over at the table. This is my book that's coming out. It's called Sensitive Souls, a Guide Book for People with Gifts for the World, for empaths, intuitives, highly insensitive people. If you're in the healing profession, you're probably an empath. You're probably a psychic, intuitive, and all of that. And that's what makes you good at your jobs, right? All right. Thank you all very much for coming. Thank you so much.